Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Tonight, I want to share with you briefly, possibly, about fragrant worship. You know, one of the most powerful things is worship. Worship is just one of the most powerful things. And there's a lot of scripture that says and tells us about us, the Gentiles. It actually speaks about us being involved with worship. If you go to Malachi 1, verse number 11, Malachi 1, verse number 11, see, they don't know where I'm going in the back. Malachi 1, verse number 11, it says, "For from the rising of the sun, even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place, incense shall be offered to my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts." Man, a scripture like that is just so powerful to me. Where he tells us that his name will be great among the Gentiles. And in every place there will be an offering that will be made and an incense that will come. That incense, that offering that he's talking about there, I honestly believe, is either worship or has a lot to do with worship. Worship releases an aroma, it releases a fragrance into the atmosphere that has an ability and a potential to change everything for everyone that's in a place like this. When we come together and we really worship, it's amazing how the Lord responds to that worship. I kind of imagine God's busy up in heaven. He's busy doing his stuff and watching the world. And I mean, he's a really busy guy, you know. But when people begin to worship, I honestly believe it gets his attention. And he responds to that worship in the most profound way. Worship is a catalyst to a move of God. There's just no question about it. If the worship isn't there, I don't believe God's going to come. The people's hearts always have to be surrendered before the Lord comes. Like in a revival or something like that, you'll always see that worship is a major part of ushering in a move of God. So let's go to Matthew 18, verse number 1. No, let's go to Luke. Yes, let's go to Matthew 18, verse number 1. "At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, 'Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' Then Jesus called a little child to him and set him in the midst of them and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven.'" Let's just stop there. He tells us that when we come to him, we need to come to him like children. But many times, I think when we come to God, we come to him in an absolutely different way to that. Have you ever seen a child? If you ever get a chance to see Kana and Alex's little girl when the praise starts in the church, it's the most amazing thing. This little girl, how old is Atalia? 2 years old. And she starts jumping and she starts clapping and she starts praising. This little girl, she gets so excited when the worship starts. I watch my own four-year-old son when we have this song that we listen to together. I've shared this with you before, how he loves this one song. And when I put him to bed at night, he'll say to me, "Dad, let's put our song on." You know, and I'll put the song on and the peace of God comes over him. But yet, an adult, sometimes we kind of close ourselves off to that. We don't allow ourselves to become like children when it comes to entering the presence of God. We come to a place like this or a worship meeting or even in your own house at home. I want to challenge you, because the Bible says that that those who come to Him like children will be the greatest in the kingdom. Why would you be the greatest? You'll be the greatest because you'll have access to it. You'll be someone that can actually partake in it. Someone who isn't great in the kingdom doesn't have much, nothing's happening. Are you with me? And if you want to come to the Lord and you want to approach Him and you want to come and worship Him, don't do it like a boring adult. Are you with me? Don't come to Him. Don't come to Him in a way where you're so refined and so concerned and so worried. I tell you now, it doesn't matter. You can put any song on, even the one they don't like, those kids will jump. They're not going to go, "I don't like that praise song." They're going to praise. They're going to worship. Some of you that have been here for a long time have heard this story. I went to an Andres Bisoni meeting, an evangelist. I flew in this tiny little airplane. It was terrifying, to Daytona to see this evangelist. I wanted to see him so bad. And when I got to this meeting, two of the little girls that were in the service were dancing around the front while the evangelist was preaching. And I got so mad with these kids because they were so distracting. You know, I'm like, I've flown in this tiny plane. I risked my life to come and hear this evangelist speak. You know what I mean? I risked my life. And yeah, these kids are so distracting. And I'm complaining to God. I'm like, "God, can't you just move them out the way or something?" You know? And the Lord rebuked me and said, "You should be just like that." And I'm thinking to myself, I'm actually not even listening anymore. I'm so focused on these kids. And these kids are watching this evangelist, probably don't have a clue what he's saying, but they are so intrigued. They are so captivated by his words when he speaks, because when he speaks, there's such an anointing on his life. And he's speaking and he's walking on the stage, kind of like I do. He walks like that. I don't copy him, he copies me. So I'm going, you know, I'm walking like this and I'm going, you know, and these kids are running literally with him and he's not even paying any attention to them. And they're loving the service. And the Lord tells me in that moment, he says to me, "That's how you're supposed to be." And I tell you, I had such an encounter with God that night. Because in that moment, I decided I'm not going to worry about anything now. I've come to this place because I want to meet with God here. I want to have an encounter with Him in this place. You see, in our walks with God, many times you're going to be faced with a choice of how you will approach God or how you will choose to worship Him. And there's a personality in the Bible that just gives us the most powerful expression of what worship really is. And we see her in three places in Scripture, but we know Jesus loved her dearly. And her name was Mary. But most of you think I'm talking about Mary Magdalene, but I'm not. I'm talking about Mary of Bethany. Mary of Bethany was Lazarus's sister, the sister of Martha. Let's read a little bit about her. Let's go to Luke 19, verse number 1. No, not there. Let's go to Luke 10, verse number 38. Luke 10, verse 38. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted by much serving. And she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed. One thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part. And this is my favorite part about this, which will not be taken away from her. You see, you don't know. In the prayer meeting on one of the days, they've been so difficult the last week. I tell you, the devil does not want us to pray. I remember one of the mornings we were praying, and it was amazing because I could feel all this resistance going on and, you know, all this stuff going on. And I remember while I was busy praying, that I felt, just give me a minute. So while we were in the prayer meeting, we were praying, and I felt all the resistance and everything. And I said to the group, you know, we have to press in. We have to make a decision to press in, no matter what, no matter how we feel. And I said to the group that when you come here, I was busy walking around the back and I was busy praying. And I said, you know, imagine this was the last time that you had to worship God or to pray. How would you pray if this was your last opportunity? Now, thankfully, when we do leave this earth, we'll continue to worship in heaven. But I want the last time I worship while I am here to be the most memorable one. And the truth is, you'll never know when the last time is that you'll have to worship the Lord. You'll never know when it is the last time that you'll be able to pray. You'll never know when it's the last time you have to evangelize, to share the gospel. You'll never know. Because you're here now and tomorrow you're not here. That's why the Bible says tomorrow will take care of itself. You worry about today. Right? So Jesus says to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things because Martha was busy. She was being very adult-like. And there was nothing wrong with what she was doing. It was good because we have to do things. But the truth is that the most important part, the part that was most valuable to Jesus, was the part that Mary was doing. Because Mary made a decision that it didn't matter what anybody thought about her. She was going to sit at his feet. She was going to worship no matter what anybody thought, no matter what anybody said, because we know Jesus was not alone at that dinner. There were all kinds of people at that meeting. But she chose to sit at his feet. And he said that this is the best part. And not only is it the best part, but he said this, it will not be taken away from her. That's why when we worship, we should do it with all of our heart. That's why we should place a value on every opportunity that we have to worship him. I want to read another story and then we're going to come back to Mary. Watch this now. Let's go to Luke 19, verse number 1. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector. And he was rich, and he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not, because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he's going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, Make haste and come down. And I love this. For today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Can you imagine? Zacchaeus is this guy. He's a tax collector. He's got a bad reputation. And Jesus is coming, and Zacchaeus wants to see him so desperately that he goes and he climbs up a tree like a child. How many adults, please, how many adults regularly climb trees? Now, you know, I don't even want to. I'm just not going to look, okay? All right. More than likely, most adults will not do that. They will not go and climb up a tree. Now, I mean, obviously, it can happen if you're running away from a bull or something like that, you know, but under normal circumstances, it's not someone with reputation that's going to go and climb up a tree when the streets are full of people and you can't see something. He goes and he climbs up this tree. He doesn't worry about his reputation. He doesn't worry about what people think. I don't want to talk about the rest of what the story holds because I want to just make the point to you that what he did was he made a decision that he would do whatever it takes, even if it made him look like a child. And the response from Jesus is this. In verse number 5, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. In other words, Zacchaeus, because you have made yourself like that, I'm going to now come and I'm going to meet with you. And the religious people got so upset. How can he want to go and have dinner with a tax collector? Because it was the tax collector who was desperate to meet with the Lord. It was the tax collector who was willing to humble himself in the presence of everybody. Don't be too dignified in a worship meeting. Don't be too dignified when you're in church where you feel like you can't lift your hands. I'm not saying this. If you don't want to lift your hands, that's fine. That's on you. But I'm telling you, there's nothing wrong with it. Don't worry about anybody else. If it's your own personal thing because you just your arms are sore, well, that's different. But if you're worried about what everybody else thinks, I'm telling you now, you're going to not experience what Zacchaeus got to experience. And the truth is, he wants to meet with you. He wants to come to your house tonight. Mary was the one who was wanting to stay at his feet. And it's amazing because the story about Mary goes on even more. Let's go take a look at it real quick. In John 12, verse number 8. Lazarus has now been raised from the dead. And Jesus is getting ready. It's almost time now for him to go to the cross. It's not far from now before he goes to the cross. And it says then 6 days before Passover. This is before Jesus now goes into Jerusalem around Passover. So it's right there. Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus was, who had been raised, who had been dead and who had been raised from the dead. And there they made him a supper. And Martha was doing what Martha did. God bless Martha because we need people to serve. Amen. But Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. You see, when she did that, she took that costly pound of spikenard oil and she took it and she poured it all over the feet of Jesus. You see, when you make a decision to worship God that way, he has this woman that's a simple woman that makes this decision, and she's going to get very, very attacked in just a moment by the disciples. Yes, the disciples, the ones who are well-schooled. They get upset because she should be giving that costly oil to the poor. But she made a decision that she was going to pour it out over the master's feet. She made a decision that she was going to worship him and that she was going to wash his feet with her hair. And what's amazing about worship, when you do it like that, when you make that decision to just completely just worship him no matter what, a fragrance is always released into the atmosphere. And everyone will be able to experience it if they really want to. That fragrance, there's a fragrance that's released, there's an aroma, there's an anointing that's released in worship. And it's one of the most beautiful things. Let's read just for the sake of finishing the story because it is interesting. But one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. The poor you will have with you always, but me you do not always have or do not have always." Remember what I said at the beginning of the service. When you come to church, when you're in your room, when you have a moment with God, when you have that opportunity, take it. Don't be so busy with all the different things in life that you miss your opportunity to worship Him. And for goodness sake, when you come to church, don't be a spectator. When you come to church, make a decision to be like Mary. Make a decision to sit at His feet. And if you really want to get into it, make a decision to wash His feet with your hair. And release a fragrance. I'm not telling you now to do anything weird. I'm just saying, you know what I mean? Just like, you know what I'm saying? Please, we don't like weird. Okay, I'll stop now. The Bible tells us that we need to be like children. And when we are like children, we'll be the greatest in the kingdom. We think it's with all the knowledge and with all the wisdom and with all the great stature and all that stuff. No, it's not. It's those that can come before Him and will not worry about what anybody thinks. It's those that come before Him. I'm not saying you must be a distraction. I'm saying that you must make a decision to worship Him. You don't have to be a distraction when you want to worship Him. If you can just come before Him like that, that's what He desires. Do you know that it's the one thing that God desires, I believe, so desperately? In fact, the Bible tells us, and I quote this all the time, but let's read it. John 4, verse 22. It says, "But the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth." You see, for the Father is seeking, everybody say, He is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. This is the way God wants you to seek Him. You see, when you worship Him in spirit, that means that you are actually being intentional. It means that it's coming from your inner man. It means that you are worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. That means that you have surrendered yourself to Him. That means that your posture has changed. Are you with me? That's what true worship looks like. It comes from inside. It comes from your heart. Amen. I believe that God is looking for a people, is desiring a people who will worship Him that way, in spirit and in truth. Let's go to Psalm 42, verse number 1. Psalm 42, verse number 1. "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul for You, O God." Sorry. "My soul thirsts for God, for the living God." This is what the psalmist is saying. "My tears have been my food day and night. Well, they continually say to me, 'Where is your God?'" So even when they're challenging Him, He says, listen, no matter what challenge, when they say, where is your God? He says, my soul is desperate. My soul longs for God. It's like a deer that is coming to the water brooks, like a deer that is thirsty, that has been running and is desperately thirsty. That's how my soul is desperate to come before my God. That's how we should come and when we worship Him. We all want God to pour out His Spirit upon us. We all want God to bless us. And it's good, right? But how many of us are willing to really worship Him? How many of us are willing to say, okay, God, I'm going to forget about my problems, my offenses, my issues, my worries. And tonight I'm going to really just worship You. And I'm going to do it because of who You are. Every single person in this room, if you are saved, has already got a reason to worship Him. If you're not saved, you have a reason too, you just don't know it yet. Amen. So tonight, instead of me preaching for another 15 minutes, how about we all stand? How about we worship God together? Now you have an opportunity. Don't anybody look around at other people. This is an opportunity for you. We worship Him because He is worthy. We worship Him because He has saved us. We worship Him because He is wonderful. We worship Him because He has taken us from death and He's given us life. He's delivered us. He has set us free. He has blessed us. And we worship Him most of all because of how much He loves us. One of the most powerful ways that we can express our love back to Him is in the way we worship. Yes, we can do it by the way we serve and do things for Him. But the part that He's looking for more than any other part is for the people that will come before His feet. And He says in His word that that's the part that He will not take away from you. So let's worship Him now.
Presence, Lord, I am dead. trust in you. You will never leave. You will be with me. My soul will find rest in you. My soul will find rest in you. You will never leave. You will be with me. My soul will find rest in you. My soul will find rest in you. You will never leave. You will be with me. My soul will find rest in you. My soul will find rest in you. You will never leave. You will be with me.
Let's just pray intimately to Him. Sing it to Him like you mean it. Sing it to Him tonight.
Better is one day with you. You're my light and salvation. You're my strength. You say to me, seek my face. Your face, oh Jehovah, I will see. One day with you, you're my light and salvation, you're my strength. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, my soul cries out for you.
Just like in that prayer meeting last week, this evening in this place, as you worship God, as you before Him this evening, nobody's watching you, nobody else, don't worry about anybody. Imagine if this was the last chance that you had to worship Him. What would you say to Him? How would you worship Him? Let's just spend a few more minutes right now, just between you and Him, just between you and God. Just worship Him. Just worship Him this evening. Oh, He is worthy to be worshipped. He is worthy to be praised. Worship Him right there where you are. Worship in this atmosphere. Just give Him thanks tonight. Give Him praise and honor Him in this place. As the piano just plays, just worship Him.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.